Motion for approval of the minutes of the last regular council meeting of November 8th. Do I have a mover? Councilor Fancy, seconder, Deputy Mayor McLeod. Any discussion? Call for the vote. All in favor? Let the record show that we have one councilor absent. Other than that, they're all positive votes. Nothing under dangerous or unsightly premises. Nothing under economic development today. Nothing under corporate services today. Nothing to report under engineering and works. Under finance, section 11.1. We have a recommendation there. Council Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Okay, if I can find it here.
11.1.
11.1. I'll make the motion so that we can get some discussion. I move, it is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality request a staff report with respect to the feasibility of creating a municipal well drilling / water storage financing program for the community, as recently permitted by Bill Number 62 of the Municipal Government Act Amendments.
A seconder for that, Councilor Frehlich. Discussion?
Maybe we could get Richard, can you give a little background on that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So through the mayor to council, this summer, many Southwest Nova Scotian communities experienced a drought that hasn't been recalled for quite some time, resulting in loss of potable water to primarily residents. That's still ongoing. We're still ordering bottled water and distributing through ground search and rescue. So are the other municipalities. So there have been residents in our communities that have been without well water for months. And a couple of the communities have approached government looking for potential ways to help residents mitigate this problem. And one of the notions that came forward, very similar to the property assessed clean energy programs, so enabling financing for energy programs through the municipality, came this concept of enabling residents to pay for drilling of a well, if that's the appropriate measure, which is typically around a $10,000 cost, and financing that over 10 or 20 years as a supplement to their tax bill. So that motion went through the province and through legislature in the past month. Other municipalities have been discussing, okay, so how could this be approached in terms of how to qualify, what criteria would need to be in place for such a program, how would we enable the proper financing, you know, what's the cost to the municipality. So I believe it'll take several months for the municipalities and the province to work together to bring forward some models and options on what this could potentially look like.
Any councilor discussion? Councilor Fancy.
I think it's a great thing to come forward. It's just that it's so many questions there along the way, because if this is like Councilor Fisk and I were discussing here, if who's going to pay for this? Because there's money up front somewhere, and if that becomes if we have to take out $250,000 or something to be able to fund these, and then all of a sudden we don't, and if there's always going to be delinquent people on payments, then all of a sudden it becomes a cost that comes back to us. How much is the government going to take into this? How much, you know, we got to know, I guess, all the, it is a nice thing to do, and it's not just nice, it's a great thing to do, but how are we going to meet the criteria and everything else? The other thing which when I was going around campaigning, which was a big issue, was septics. Now, is that something that can be looked at in this kind of a program too, if it's going to be some kind of government-sponsored programs? Because we got a lot of septics going into the river, and is that something that they would be able to look at things like that too? Because we got problems, and if the government's going to be open, let's see what they're all open to.
CEO McClellan, would you like to respond to the sewage sector?
Okay, so that specific, from what I understand, that's not specifically enabled under the legislation at that time, but it's a good question. We have heard actually that question being addressed in the past year in Lunenburg with their straight pipes issue and how they're approaching that. So we can address that in a report coming forward. Certainly, but I don't have a specific answer on that now.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I think the key word in this motion is the feasibility of such a program, and I think that's where we'll be looking at is through the financing, and I know Jennifer has got some great ideas and thoughts on this as well, and I know with the support of other municipalities and through UNSM and through the proponent, whoever approached the province to amend this act to incorporate this, I think there has to be a lot of research into that. We don't want to be the last resort financing for local individuals, but I think we should offer an opportunity if some folks out there have properties and how you can work out a financing program that works for everybody. And of course, our taxpayers, we have to consider the impact that it would be on the general taxpayers as well. But also including in that, and I know this isn't part of the motion, but something that we could help manage, and that is water testing. Maybe we could look at some better convenient way for well owners to have their water tested after the drought season, and I know that's a concern from the Department of Health, so maybe we could look at something like that down the road, make it more efficient for them to get their water testing done, since our past summer has been such a bad one for them. So, just a thought.
Councilor Johnson?
I agree with all the comments so far. This is a great initiative, but the feasibility studies is going to have to address somewhere along the line the administration of this, because this could turn into an administrative nightmare if we didn't address that right up front. Mm-hmm. But the intent is bang on for the needs, because the need, like you said, is still there. There's still dry wells, and people drinking bottled water, finding other alternatives.
Any other councillors? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It's unanimous, thank you. Under 12.1, we have a request from the North Queens Board of Trade. Councillor Johnson, would you like to look after that?
Okay, I'd like to make a motion based on the recommendation that Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approves the funding request of $250. By the North Queens Board of Trade to support the children's Christmas activities in Caledonia, and the funding could come from the Community Recreation Assistance Program administered through the Rec Department.
Seconder, Councillor Fisk. Discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous? Thank you. Nothing on the agenda today under planning. Queens Place and Mirror Center. Do we have manager? We don't have manager Steve Burns here, so I'll ask CAO Richard McClellan to present this.
Sure. So as directed by Regional Council in the summer, the Queens Place Advisory Committee was posted and members appointed in recent months, and they had their very first meeting on November 8th. The draft minutes are in here. Their next meeting is, I believe, December 6th. The meeting resulted in the appointment of a chair, Michael Anthony, and vice chair, Stu Horton. Primarily, the meeting consisted of administrative matters, going through the terms of reference, code of conduct, and having some preliminary discussion around an overview of the strategic planning work that has already taken place and discussion around prioritization and sequencing of how they're going to address matters. So the new chair is meeting with staff to work on the approach for the upcoming meetings, the minutes overview, some of the discussion points that that came up at the meeting.
Any questions, council? Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Can these minutes be posted on the website?
Yeah, they would be with, as part of this agenda package.
Perfect. Yep,
and
yep.
When they're approved, they'll be posted on the Queen's
Place
website.
Great. Thank you so much. Good. It was a good meeting.
Yep. Any other councilor? The report was provided for information, so we'll move on to reports. 15-1, Bylaw Enforcement Officer's Monthly Report. Yes.
Can I just add to, along with Queen's Place, just an addition. I just wanted to know, if, do we have an update with the skate park and the BMX trail? I know I've been over there looking, at, they're coming along wonderfully. They're getting that big bowl, and I almost get, I don't like heights, just looking down in. It's high. I'm wondering if there's any tentative dates scheduled or anything.
So through the mayor and council, we don't have a tentative opening date. Obviously, as you can see, they're working as quickly as they can to get as much done as possible before weather comes, and progress is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. We can update council for the next meeting on that. I don't have the updated.
Okay, are we finished with Queen's Place? We'll move on to 15-1, Bylaw Enforcement Officer's Monthly Report. Circulated for information. Any questions of councilors? Move on to 15-2, Building Inspector's Monthly Report. Again, any questions? Move on to 15-3, Town Hall Arts and Culture Center Monthly Report. Any comments or questions? Okay, we'll move on to section 16, other. 16.1, Motorized Access Pine Grove Park. CEO Rick McFellin, would you like to present that?
Sure, so this summer, staff responded to several requests to bring vehicles into the park and declined each of those requests. Council asked or directed staff to take away and review the policy and bring it back to council for consideration. When staff reviewed the matter, we believe that, you know, where the park has a number of environmental sensitivities, motorized traffic is not appropriate in Pine Grove Park. So we generally expect it that if some requests were approved, it would be difficult to reject or defer others, and the use could become consistent. We don't have the appropriate infrastructure, whether it's the roads and signage, for that to be in there. So staff don't believe there are a requirement to amend the policy. The current policy enables applicants to appeal such a refusal to council. That didn't happen this summer. That's something that we are able to do if a request came through, and if staff rejected, the applicant can appeal to council to consider an extreme exception to enabling motorized access in Pine Grove Park.
Any questions or comments from council? Councilor Fraley.
So what you're saying is if Acadia First Nations come back next year with the request to host events as they did last year, that under this, what you're saying is that we would reject them again?
So there were multiple requests. I believe that with Acadia First Nation request, we would work to try to accommodate it so that they didn't need to bring cars in there. So if there was wood that needed to be taken down, perhaps the region could do it. So we'd have to look at those on a case-by-case basis to try to accommodate those. The challenge is if we start approving motorized access, it's difficult to find a logical differentiation, and it'll become a regular opportunity.
But somebody must have the ability to limit. So if Department of Natural Resources, they want to do an information session on the forest and forest fires, which was really relevant, they wanted to bring one single truck down through a road, through Pine Grove. And this, we're not talking daily, we're not talking that it would be open up to the public. We're talking about one event that is an educational event, and they would be denied?
So again, staff would deny those. They could appeal those to council. We don't see where it's not programmed for motorized use. There's no signage, and the roads aren't constructed for that. We don't have a logical way to differentiate and pick. So it's either motorized park or it isn't, and exceptions can come to council for your consideration.
Councillor Muse next.
So I guess must have been the other council. So people want to be able to take their vehicles into the park? I'm lost. Why would they want to do that?
For different events. So whether there was one here where a group wanted to do a weekly cultural event, another Department of Natural Resources wanted to do an educational event. We often have requests for things, whether it's weddings or different things. So Pine Grove Park has historically been 100% non-motorized, you know, with the exception of parks crews. And there's no signage to, or the infrastructure set up to, to manage vehicles right now. It would be staff's advice that if we're going to enable vehicles to go down there, we would need to create a budget to properly sign and deal with those sort of things, or maintain, which we're recommending that it's a non-motorized park. If there's an extreme exception, we'd certainly want to work with groups, you know, such as the Acadia First Nations request to enable activities to happen. Staff are recommending that we don't start enabling motorized vehicles in Pine Grove Park.
Councillor Kevin?
I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this just because it sounds so such a simple thing, but it sounds like it's I just don't know how to explain it. But we allow municipal vehicles into the park, right?
Right.
And well, how does that differentiate from people that wanted to take a vehicle, like a DNR vehicle, in there for an educational seminar or something like that, or to take canoes down to the waterfront? How does, with the signage thing, municipal vehicles go in there? They must have a pumping vehicle that goes in there for maybe to pump out the outhouses that are down there as well. So vehicles are in there anyway.
Right, very limited. So just municipal vehicles to maintain the park.
Right. Well, I thought that's what we were talking about here, limited use associated with an event that's proved to be happening there by the region. Can that be a separate entity?
So staff are advising that we recommend that the park continue to be non-motorized, or to start enabling that, we're going to generally have to allow any requests for motorized vehicles down there, and we will need to upgrade or budget for the roads and signage to do that. So it's our recommendation that maintain non-motorized.
Even on a limited access, even one also approved by council to say yes, you can take your vehicle in there, you still say you need signage.
So the current policy allows council to approve limited access. Staff don't feel that we have the infrastructure or the objective criteria to be able to say yes to you and no to you.
Right.
For example, in the summer, if we talked to people about the different requests we received, there was varying opinions on who should have been approved and who shouldn't have been approved. For staff's advice that we don't have that criteria to make it. If council wishes to consider an exception and enable a unique event to go down there, then that would be council's purview.
So are we talking about rewriting a policy here or something?
No, the current policy allows council to consider an appeal.
Case by case.
But they have to, yeah, okay. Privateer Park, there's no signage there. That's one of our parks. We allow vehicles in that park.
Special
There's never, spe- yeah, do we ever, we don't specifically, council never specifically says vehicles are allowed in that park. They just say Privateer Days is allowed in that park, and that's when vehicles go in that park.
Yeah, by permit, yes.
Right, okay, just trying to understand.
Councilor Fancy?
I can understand it. As we look at this as a whole, like because this came up last year saying it's a non-motorized park. Well, it isn't. It's by a whole we treat it as that, but it's not down in writing, because that way I guess too, if you put motorized vehicles aren't allowed, then it becomes sticky to even allow anybody in if you start putting those words in. But in 54.13, it says requests shall be refused if they are not seen to be in the interest of the region of Queens municipality. I don't like that statement. Refuse gives a negative connotation, like we don't want you, right? I don't like that. I like it to be something like requests shall be made to the region of Queens, you know, rather than to say refuse. When you put refused in, it's just like they'll be refused if they're not in the best interest. So all of a sudden they come in and somebody asks for something, we say, well, we're refusing you, because that's what we say in here. And then all of a sudden they don't want to come to council because they're refused. So I don't like it coming in as negative. I'd rather just say requests shall be made to the region of Queens municipality.
And it says that on page one of that policy.
Yeah.
It says that all requests for outdoor events shall be received in writing by the region.
Right.
And I think the real critical issue here is that you make a decision at some point through a council proceeding that you're going to very strongly control motorized access within Pine Grove, or you're going to open the floodgates. Because once you create the precedent, you're in a position where you have to determine this applicant is accepted or another applicant is rejected. And you'll find likely that under the law, you can't discriminate on equal applications. So that is the problem that we're dealing with. And Pine Grove is a wonderful park. It's a non-motorized park per se. It has people of all ages, children to adults to seniors. They have their pets. They're in that area and feeling the safety of not looking out for their children to the extent they do in an area where you have motorized usage. We can look at this in many different directions. I would caution staff and council that when we look at this issue, consider the fact that we have loved Carter's Beach and we are now dealing with difficulties. We wouldn't want to love Pine Grove and open it up to the same issues to resolve. So there's a similarity, although they're different. There's similar problems. Yes, Councilor Kelly.
I just think this whole thing, this issue of taking vehicles into Pine Grove Park, I mean, all of a sudden, the first thing I'd heard about this before we even took over the new council was that people were shocked that Pine Grove Park was all of a sudden going to be opened up to vehicles racing through and loud noises and a whole network of, I mean, and it's going from one extreme to another. A few groups came forward and want to have activities in Pine Grove, which I think would definitely benefit the whole community, definitely benefit people to gather in an outside wonderful area, another reason to bring more people into Pine Grove Park and experience what other people have to offer, like from the Acadia First Nations or from the Canoe and Camera Club or from the Department of Natural Resources, and all they want to do is facilitate their bringing their things into the park so that they don't have to walk from outside down or cart them on a cart or something like that to drive their vehicle in to unload these things and take their vehicle out. And now it seems like we're going from one extreme to another where there's going to be, we need to have stop signs or traffic lights in there for vehicles traveling around Pine Grove Park when it's as simple as people just wanting to be able to bring in their supplies to the park. It seems very, you know, and I just wanted to put that out because that's what my understanding is, and I feel like we're going from one extreme to the other, simple request versus the public thinking that we're people want to come in and open it up to have a motorized park, where most of our parks I consider to be typically non-motorized, local Centennial Park and whatever we consider to be parks in the community. I just wanted to sort of make that clear. It seems like we're missing, there's a lot of things being missed on this whole topic of motorizing Pine Grove Park, which that's not what we're doing, but it keeps coming up as an issue that we want to make sure that we don't allow motorized vehicles into Pine Grove Park when it's just a simple request for access for materials. Am I missing something?
Well, if you had 100 of those a year, it would be a different issue. But the region of Queens has staff that have the ability to do maintenance, to do delivery of certain things on a limited basis.
Yeah,
we would explore that with any application we would receive. But once you open it up to all applicants having access for taking whatever in and coming back out, then how many times would that occur? And I have no idea. That's what the policy allows for through the appeal process.
Right, okay, got it.
Yes, Councilor.
This policy is here, and we're talking about it because last summer we had two great events, and staff refused them. We weren't aware of it, and then all of a sudden we are the ones on the street, and we're being asked why. We didn't have any reason why. I was actually quite shocked that they were refused, considering it's First Nations, which is their land to start with, and they shouldn't even have to ask permission. This is their land. And so what the policy, the reason we're talking about it is to avoid that, so that we don't have situations where we're not aware that staff have refused it. And we really wanted this to be on the table so that staff could look at a way to work it out so that we're not in this position anymore. And that great event, First Nations, which could bring so much to the park, so many people to the park, all walking, has an opportunity, and as Councillor Kelly says, it's gone from that to something extremely the other way. And I think if we just pull it back and staff examine every request and see if it's worthy, and I don't think it's that difficult.
In hindsight, knowing what we know today, I think we could have arranged a solution for that request.
Absolutely.
Moving forward, I think we have the ability to deal with these issues under the existing policy.
But we're still using the word refuse, and we have the ability to refuse, and that is what we're trying to avoid. So Councillor Fancy hit it right on the nail on the head, that we don't want to be perceived as turning people away from their own park, and that's what we've done in the past.
Any other questions, comments? Yes, Councillor Johnson.
Well, this reviewing the policy as it stands, and I can understand not letting the genie out of the bottle. That's when you do, it's exactly like you heard earlier today from Pine Grove, you're not going to get it back in easy.
Mm-hmm.
But very clearly, the first thing is if someone was rejected, their request rejected, not refused, they were made aware that there is an appeal process. You know, if that hasn't been done, then we're delinquent in doing it. Because if there is an onus to come forward with an appeal, then that process, there's got to be some onus on the requester as well. The other side of it is that once we start making exceptions, the criteria, in my mind, needs to be a whole lot clearer than just what we have here, and that we all agree what kind of criteria we're looking at. Because if it doesn't have controlled access today where you open and close a gate, once it's perceived that you see one vehicle go in, then they're all going to continue to go in unless you have some way of controlling that. But like I said, in hindsight, looking at how we go forward with it, it would be nice to understand what requests have been denied, you know, when they are denied and things like that. Because I think it is, it's gone from one extreme to another.
Okay. Other councillor? Councillor Fancy?
Yes, going back to the, of course, it's Pine Grove is in my area, so I hear a lot about it. People are talking about it. And the one thing is, which we don't want to, we want to be looking forward, not looking back. But even with the Acadia First Nations, I talked with them, and it was like, well, we were refused. So they didn't even know there was an option to go forward. And you don't want everything with a negative connotation. You know, that's why I mentioned that with 5413. It doesn't want to be like a negative connotation. But there's other ways of working with things. It's like we've said, like if it's wood to be brought down there, maybe it could be that we use our own region vehicles to take it back in. You know, do we work with them, you know, as best we can, than just have vehicles going in. So there's ways of working with them. It's just that we don't want to reach into that spot again where, like when I talked with them, they said, well, we were refused, we went to White Point. Well, that's why I say there's a negative connotation to it. Whether it's what we're gonna do or not, it needs to know that there's other avenues.
Any other councillor comments? Councillor Fisk?
I'm just wondering, prior to the time that we owned the Pine Grove, Bowater Mersey, do they ever have any trouble with those issues? It would be the same, under the same jurisdiction, they wouldn't let motorized vehicles in. Do we know that?
That would be my understanding at the time. They controlled. Pardon? They controlled access. They actually had it gated at the time. Councillor McLeod?
I think public perception is important here as well, and I know this park belongs to the community, it belongs to the people. I think I agree with every one of these councillors' comments. I think we should get together and discuss a solution to this, and that we should open up lines of communication, and also from the preservation of the park. You can work around and you can make practical decisions on use of that park and work with organizations and groups that it's their park, it's our park, all of us own it. I think we can work out something on a case-by-case basis, not setting a precedent, but really working well with these organizations, and the suggestion of council or staff working toward trying to resolve going in and out of the park, whatever way, by motorized, by carts, whatever you want to do. There's ways of working around that, but I think we have to be open-minded and work with organizations and groups that want to utilize that beautiful park.
Well, I think staff has heard the discussion today. Would it be appropriate, Richard, if we allow staff to digest this and look at whether there's a change or a direction?
Yes, I mean, I believe that, we are going to be reviewing the wording of policy. So I've made note here in a number of things. I believe that it's incumbent upon staff to reach out, particularly to Acadia First Nations, to see if there's an opportunity to work with them going forward. And in this case, obviously, council was correct. We didn't make applicants aware that there was an appeal to council last summer. That may have changed the comment that council didn't know about things. So we handled those requests. We maybe, in hindsight, could handle things better in the future based on what we've learned. We take the comments from council and we'll reach out to Acadia First Nations and ensure that if there's any more requests coming forward before policy is reviewed, that council's aware of them.
Thank you, Richard. Are we ready to move on to the next article?
Okay.
We'll move to 16.2, Port Medway Park, and I would ask Councillor Fisk.
I so move that the Region Queens Municipality give permission for the location and overall concept design of the Lost at Sea Fisherman's Memorial submitted by the Port Medway and Area Communities Association for Port Medway Lighthouse Park at no cost to the Region of Queens, and that further will provide a letter of support of accompanying the association funding applications related to this project.
Seconder? Counselor Muse? Discussion?
Do you have any background?
CIO Richard, would you like to provide an update on this, or Jill?
Sure.
Yeah.
Jill.
Yes, so the Medway Area Communities Association, as some of you may know, were instrumental in the creation of the Port Medway Lighthouse Park back 10-15 years ago from a disused fish plant, and have always worked closely with the region to sort of uphold the beauty of that location and hold events there. They look after the eventing at the warehouse, the concrete block building down there. So they've come in with this request, and they apologize for the last minute nature of it, but they're at a certain point we're trying to apply for Canada 150 funding to build a memorial area in the Lighthouse Park dedicated to those who've been lost at sea. And this is in combination with resurrecting the fishermen's memorial service that used to take place every year and stopped about 20 years ago due to liability issues. They want to bring that into the park as well and create this sitting space with, it's about 12 foot in diameter, it's made out of natural granite and in the form of a compass rose. And we'll have some blocks of granite for sitting on and quiet reflection. And I know you've got copies of the pictures in your package,
yeah.
But it's an area between the walkway and in the garden here, between the grass and the walkway, quite near to the look-off. And sort of this is another view of it that, you know, shows you'd be able to sit and look out to see. So it's just a kind of a place for quiet contemplation, but they hope to find a way to actually engrave the names of the 100 fishermen lost at sea in those areas, in the Medway area, to remember them by. And all they're asking for is our permission to locate it there. They would arrange for the supply and for the installation of such a rock creation.
Mm. Yes, Deputy Mayor McClatt.
I remember years ago we used to celebrate the blessing of the fleets in August every year, and as the indicated here, that was no longer held. This may generate an interest in the future to have an event there. I know on Sunday I attended the one in Port Mattoon. They had a sort of a service for the launch of the lobster season, and it's really well attended and
that's
very appropriate. So these things can generate a lot of interest in the
that's
park.
That's their
as
intention
well.
Actually to create an event this year that would take a whole weekend and would start maybe at the Port Grocer with a sea shanty type pub night, and then on the Saturday have different fishermen doing different demonstrations, building lobster traps, knot tying, you know, the dories.
As a type festival.
Yeah, and have this event on the Sunday for the blessing of the fleet. So they're seriously looking at doing that this year.
Mm-hmm. Councilor Fisk?
This group is a very hard-working group in the community, and they've been very successful in creating different projects at the site, and I really compliment them on their hard work as a group in the village. So they've done remarkably well. I support them 100%, and I'm sure council do.
Yep.
Any other councilor? Councilor Fancy?
Well, when we were out to the internet meeting the other day, there was a fellow from Annapolis. I forget the fellow's name there. Councilor Fisk and I went out to lunch with him, and he was saying out in Annapolis, I think they were doing some boat building, some kind of ship building. They said they get nothing done. because people all the time want to come along and pound a nail or do something or see something that's being done locally. And,
yeah.
and they're just totally interested in things like that. So building lobster traps or crates or whatever, I mean, that would be just an attraction itself just to people to come to see.
Any other councilors? It's certainly a great project, and we're very pleased that the Medway and Area Communities Association volunteers are taking the lead on this. It will be a benefit to the Fort Medway
mm-hmm.
Park.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you very much. We'll now move to in camera. Can I have a motion to go in camera? Mm-hmm. Councilor Fancy, seconded by mm-hmm. Councilor Kelly. Any discussion? Ready for the motion? All those in favor? Unanimous? Thank you. We'll take a 10-minute recess.